It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Start reading from verse 17.
And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written.
Now, when they give him the book, and they open and give it to the book of Isaiah, because the scroll is round, so when the book of Isaiah, they gave it to him. And they didn't know what he was going to read. But when he gave it to the book of Isaiah, he came to the Isaiah 61. He might have, rolled it pages, and came to 61 and start reading. Let's read verse 18.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised.
He took the book of Isaiah. Let's read the book of Isaiah chapter 61 verses 1 and 2.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn.
And now he's saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now those people are sitting there, they didn't understand what he's trying to say. But he's trying to say to these people, you saw the John baptizing me. You saw that dove coming as a spirit. Do you know what that was? That was my anointing. And when you say, I am anointed one, that means when you say anointed one, that's called Messiah, the Christ. So he says, I am the Christ. I'm the one who is going to be crucified. I'm the one who is anointed one. And that's the promise is God given to the mankind, and I'm the one going to do these things, what the Isaiah was saying. Let's go back to the book of Luke chapter 4 verse 19.
To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.
Now can you imagine, he took the book, he sent it, and then he closed the book, gave it to them, and he says, now this scripture fulfilled in your sight, because you have seen me, who is your Messiah, who is your Lord, and that prophecy is fulfilled today in front of your eyes. Don't you think these people should be excited, be happy that this was written almost 700 or 800 years before Jesus Christ was even born? And now this scripture he is saying is fulfilled in front of your own eyes. I'm going to heal the people, and people are going to see the glory of God, and all of these things they have heard, and they were excited. But see what happens. Verse 22.
And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son?
Now see, here he's saying all these good words and gracious words came out of his mouth. That means he's a great man and he did a great things and he might be a Messiah. But then got a doubt in their spirit. They say, how can be he the Christ? How can he be the Messiah? How could he say these scriptures fulfilled in front of your eyes? Do you know who this man is? They're saying this man is Joseph's son. And that Joseph is carpenter. He's not a son of any prophet or son of any rabbi. He is the carpenter's son. And who gave him authority to come to the temple and say, this prophecy is fulfilled because I am the Messiah? And so they start saying, he is an ordinary man, Joseph's son, and he cannot be a prophet. So what Jesus answered, let's read verse 23.
And he said unto them, Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country.
Now, Jesus Christ is saying to these people, You people are crooked people, do all kinds of evil things. Now he said, I came here, and now you're trying to harass me. But he says, This is what it is. You people are saying there is a proverb. Hey, doctor, why don't you heal yourself? If the doctor said, I'm going to heal you, he says, heal yourself. We don't want anything from you. So he said, that's the kind of things you're doing because the prophet is not honored in his own country. Because Jesus Christ is saying, I was born here and lived here 30 years. And he did not do any miracle within these 30 years. He lived under his father's, business. Maybe he was doing some carpenter's job also with a father. And all of a sudden, when he filled with the power of God and he comes to the temple and starts saying, I am the Messiah. And so these people didn't like it. So Jesus Christ gave two examples. Let's read following. Verse 25.
But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow.
Now he gave an example of Elijah. He says, Elijah went to the one widow. That widow was not a Jewish lady. She was a heathen. And so God sent Elijah to the heathen lady who was widow to feed him in the time of famine. So in short, what he's trying to say, why God did not send Elijah to one of the Israeli people's house? Why did he send to the heathen? What he's trying to say, because you people have no value for the prophet. And you are killing the prophets. You are destroying the prophet. That's why God did not send Elijah to the one of the Israeli widow. He sent him to the heathen. So heathen gave him respect and protected him and fed him for 3.5 years. Then he gives another example. Let's read verse 27.
And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian.
He gave another example. He says, in Israel, there were so many lepers, and they have a leper colony. But Elijah did not go healing all the lepers. But he says he healed the Naaman who was Syrian. So why did Elijah heal the Syrian man and did not heal the lepers in Israel? So he is trying to say, because they were not giving any credit to Elijah or Elisha, and they were not listening to this prophet. So God allowed this Elijah to heal the Naaman Syrian man. So what Jesus Christ was trying to say, you people are bad people. That's what he's trying to say. You people are not having respect for me. And you people had no respect for any prophet. That's what he was trying to prove it to these people. And so these people got so angry. Let's read verse 28.
And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath.
See, they became angry because Jesus Christ told them, you people are not good people. You are always harassing the prophet. And now I'm coming and telling you what God is going to use me. And I am the Messiah. I am the anointed one. I am the Christ. And you don't like it. And so see what these people start doing to Jesus. Let's read a little bit further.
And rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong.
Can you imagine? They thrust me. Thrust him means they pushed him around and he was in synagogue. Means they have to drag him out of the synagogue, and now they are dragging him to the hillside. And they said their city was built on the hill. So now they drag him to the hill. And what was their idea? They wanted to push him from the top of the hill, downhill, so his head will crush and he will die. Jesus didn't have his disciples with him. He was alone. And so all these people overpowered him, pushed him, dragged him. Let's read a little bit further.
But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way.
These people wanted to kill him, but his time didn't come yet. And he didn't want to die like this. He wanted to go to cross. So they are pushing him, bringing him there, and all of a sudden they wanted to push him. And I think, this is not in the Bible, but I'm just thinking, maybe some stone fell down, and they say, wow, Jesus is gone now. He's done. Jesus disappeared. They could not see him. They might be thinking, something fell there. Maybe he's dead. But Jesus escaped from them. And now they are in the mountain. There are many people. It's impossible to run away from them. But Jesus disappeared. Means they were blinded. They could not see him. He disappeared. And then you will see, he went to another place. Please read continuously.
And came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days.
1 week time. This was a Sabbath day. Now another Sabbath day, he is now in Capernaum. He was telling them, you people did some problem in Capernaum. Now you came here to Nazareth to give me a hard time. So now he is going back to the Capernaum. And in another translation I was reading, he says he descended in that Capernaum. Descended means what happened? He just went from this Nazareth, fly away, and came back to the, what do you call, Capernaum. Now somebody says, how it is possible? Yet it is. If you remember, Philip baptized that eunuch and came out of, and then Philip disappeared. They saw him in another town. The point I'm making, these people wanted to push Jesus Christ from the cliff, kill him, and he disappeared from their hand. And then they saw him now, he's in another town preaching. So God can do these miracles for you or anybody. If the devil tried to kill you, God has his plan to rescue you. And so Jesus was rescued, and we don't know how he went, disappeared that place, or he walked there. We don't know, but they could not see him. If they would have seen him, they would have dragged him back to the mountain. It was impossible for those people to see, so Jesus Christ blinded them. This has happened to even Sodom and Gomorrah, if you remember. When those angels came and came to the Lot, and those other people are saying, bring those angel out. They thought these are beautiful, handsome people. They didn't know they were angels. And they said, bring it out, so we want to do something wrong with them. But angel made them blind. And they could not see where the door was. And then Lot and his family safely went out. So the point I'm making, God has power to rescue you from the enemy's hand. Okay, let's read a little bit further.
And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power.
Now, in his preaching in the Capernaum, those people said they were astonished of his doctrine, and his word has a weight of power. And so those people are saying, we never heard any rabbi or any prophet preaching like this man. Because this man is preached something different, they never heard of it. And so the Jesus words were very powerful. If you are a man of God, you should not be afraid of anybody. You should preach the word of God with the authority and with power. That's what God has given to us. Okay, verse 33.
And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice.
Jesus comes to the synagogue. Their people try to kill him. Now here the enemy, the devil is the enemy, comes to interrupt what Jesus Christ is doing. Because he's preaching with a power and authority, and people are listening. Here all of a sudden, demon comes to the temple or a synagogue. So that means devil goes to church, right? There are some devils goes to church. For what? Not to listen to the word of God, but to destroy the work of God. But God is much wiser than the devil. So here Jesus Christ is in the synagogue, and this devil comes, and he's one man, but he's not one. He has so many evil spirits. And see what is happening. Let's read verse 34.
Saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God."
Now see, he's coming from Nazareth. Now he's in a synagogue in Capernaum. This demon understood. You are from Nazareth. That means they were going to kill you in Nazareth, but now you came here from Nazareth. And now we know who you are. He says, you are the Holy One of God. The Jesus Christ was called the Holy One of Israel, Holy Child. And now he says that you are the Holy One of God. Because he was telling those people, I am the Messiah. I am the Anointed One. I am the Christ. They didn't want to listen. Now here, foolishly devil telling this audience, do you know who this man is? He's from Nazareth. And he is Anointed One. He is the Holy One of God. And so even the devil were enemy to Jesus Christ, but they realized that Jesus Christ is God. In a book of James, he says, devil also believe there is a one God, and he trembles. So that means devil does not deny there is no God. Devil believes there is a God. And so here devil is trying to say he is the one, the Son of God, or the Holy One of God. See what Jesus Christ did, verse 35.
And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out.
They up to now heard the word of God is so powerful, and he has wisdom of God, he has authority, he has a good doctrine, but they never saw the miracle. Now this time when Jesus Christ shut that man, the devil was not alone. He says, why did you come to harass us? Means more than one. He told that devil, shut your mouth, don't say anything, because he's telling them he's the Christ, he's the Messiah, he's a God. He says, shut your mouth and come out. And as soon as he said, this devil was not able to kill this man. He did not hurt him. So sometimes devil tried to kill many people. But this man was not even hurt, the word of God says. So Jesus Christ rescued this man, healed this man, and see what happens. People were amazed. Verse 36.
And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. He besought him for her.
When he was in the synagogue, and the miracle happened, people got the news and they start telling everybody what Jesus Christ did. And I think that news went to the Simon's house, Simon Peter's house, and his mother-in-law was sick. And here he said, what kind of sickness was? Very great or high fever. So there are all kinds of fever. People think of fever is not big enough, or it's an ordinary thing. Fever can kill you. There are all kinds of fevers. And so this was the worst kind of fever this lady had. And so when she heard, oh, Jesus Christ is in town, he's in synagogue, and he cast already demons, call him. Call him to my house. So the word of God says, somebody sent the message, and they told Jesus to come to heal this lady. and see what happens. Let's read.
And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them.
Now when you say stood over her, it's not like he's stepping on her. He bent down. When she was lying down, he bent down and, you know, touched her. And the word of God says immediately. It's not given too much explanation, but she was instantly healed. And sometimes people say, oh, the fever takes time. 7 days, 5 days, or 3 weeks, or 4 weeks to be healed. But here, word of God says instantly, this lady was healed. It is the power of God heals today. We have to take a courage and say it by faith and believe it. I'll give you a couple of examples and then you know. This was the first miracle God did in my ministry. When I received the Holy Spirit and I said, Lord, I want to see a miracle in my ministry. And I was going and then one lady says, please come here, my baby is having high fever and she's crying. And so I went, prayed for the baby, and I walked away. And I went to the end of the row. She said, Brother Peter, please come back. I thought baby might be dead. So I said, what happened? She said, I touched the baby and she's healed and she's not crying and fever is gone. I said, praise God. And just I left. Another time there was one Hindu man and his baby was crying and having a high fever. I said to the man, can I pray for the girl? He said, no. Why? Because I got the snake bite that night. So he said, you got a snake bite, you're going to die and you're cursed. And you cannot pray for my baby. You cannot touch my baby. And so 4 o'clock, it's a long story, but 4 o'clock, the baby is still crying. So I went to his door and banging. I said, sir, your baby is still crying. Can I pray for her? He said, you're still alive? I said, yes. Oh, please pray. So I prayed for the baby. Instantly, the baby was healed. So I have no doubt that Jesus, you know, bend down on her and she was healed. And the word of God says she got up and what? Start ministering to him. Means there were all the disciples and everybody. That means she start cooking, she start serving, she start doing everything and a fever instantly gone. So what I'm trying to say, if somebody prayed for you, don't sleep there for 7 weeks. Just believe that I'm healed. Okay, let's finish this chapter.
Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them.
He said the sun was setting. Why has the sun setting, he's saying? Because that was a Sabbath day, if you remember. Sabbath day, there was a command, you cannot go out of your town walking miles and miles. So people saw the miracle, the person got healed in the synagogue, Peter's mother-in-law got healed. This news went to the people. And they were waiting to sunset. Now sunset, all the people start coming to the Simon Peter's house. And so many people came. Mark says something else. Let's read Mark chapter 1, verse 31 to 38. Whole town came.
And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door.
All the city was gathered together at the door. Can you imagine how many people came? Whole town came to that Simon Peter's house. Okay, let's go back to the Luke chapter 4.
And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him, and came unto him, and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee.
Now, when Jesus Christ healed so many people, so many sick people got healed, and the devil was crying out, Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And then Jesus Christ slept in the early in the morning in the lonely place. And these people got up and said, where is Jesus? And they all start looking for Jesus, and then they found him in the place and they said, please don't leave our town. Stay in our town because we need you. What Jesus said, I cannot stay in one town. I have to go and preach in other places. And so, let me go. And then he went and they preached in every synagogue and every town. What I'm trying to say, the word of God is not preached only one church. So that's why we have to go out. There are so many people who do not know the word of God. That's why every Sunday I tell you as a believer, try to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. I don't have to come to America. I was in India. My church was growing very fast. Every year we were baptizing at least 200 people. And I was going around the world, around India. I had a car. I had a convention going on every week. And I'm preaching the gospel. I knew the languages and everything. Why did I come here? To go to uttermost part of the world. And after coming here, we started the radio program going around the world. And we are not finished. Our ministry is going to flourish. I want each and every one of you thinking that you are a minister. Book of Luke chapter 5. And we are going to start from verse 1. Book of Luke chapter 5 verse 1.
And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship.
Now here we see Jesus Christ coming to near the lake. And why he came to the lake? Because people were pushing him. If you remember last week, Simon Peter's mother-in-law was very sick. She had a high fever. And they requested Jesus to come to Simon Peter's house, and he went. And as soon as he prayed for her, she was completely healed. And that evening, whole town came to her door. And then we learned Jesus Christ laid hand on each and every one of them, and everyone was healed. So you can see whole town coming, and when you start laying hand on them, whole night was gone. And the morning Jesus Christ went to the lonely place, maybe in the mountain, and they start looking for him. Where is Jesus? Finally they found him, and they said, please don't leave this town because we need you here. Jesus said, I have to go to different towns. That's why I have come to preach the gospel. And so he comes to this Galilee. And here we see near the lake he stood because people were threshing him, pushing him. So he saw two boats. And one of the boats belonged to Simon Peter. So he asked him, requested him, I'm coming in your boat. Could you please take it a little bit away from the land because people are pushing me? And so he sat in the boat and started preaching. And the word of God says when he finished his preaching, then he tells the Simon Peter, take this boat a little bit a deeper water. Let's read verse 4.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.